podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's the Juice on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron. Time for some headlines. Michigan has fired co-offensive coordinator Matt Weiss. He, of course, is under investigation by university police for a, quote, report of computer access crimes. In a statement, the university said the termination came, quote, after a review of university policies. He shared play-calling duties on offense this season. Jaden Rashada, top quarterback prospect in the 2023 class, has been released from his national letter of intent by Florida and is now free to sign with another team. He was the highest ranked signee in the Gators 2023 recruiting class that they signed back in December. He asked for a release after a reported $13 million name, image, and likeness package fell through. Deion Sanders in Colorado flipped five-star cornerback Cormani McClain on Thursday. He had been committed to Miami. He gives Sanders his first five-star as the Buffalo's coach. And finally, Texas Tech has announced going on sale today. Season tickets for the 2023 football team on schedule. You can buy them now. There is no schedule. There's no public schedule. They did link to their 2023 non-conference schedule, which is all of three games. But, you know, if you wanted to just kind of like spin the wheel,
yeah,
you can. TexasTech.com. You too can join the program. We'd love to hear from you on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com.
Probably not a bad time to get in the stadium, get in the games. Now, I don't know. I mean, as a season ticket holder, I'll probably be getting a renewal here soon. But the for the folks that were maybe let theirs go and the disappointment of the previous, you know, however many years that you want to regard that as being disappointed, now might not be a bad time to get back in. And I would think that this would be a good year for season ticket sales and just that sort of thing. But at the same time, you know, there may be some folks. I mean, you really hope that folks are more interested in seeing Texas Tech than who we playing.
Right. But especially after what happened this past season.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I don't know how much it would change things, but are we getting six games or seven games? We know, Nate, we know two of the three non-conference games are here, but we're either going to have four or five conferences. So, you know, that I remember a couple of years ago, the baseball season ticket renewal thing came out, which is usually, I don't know, late October or something. Mm-hmm. And they hadn't really released the schedule yet, but the graphic that came in the deal, like, come and see non-conference series with Rice and so-and-so and so-and-so. We're like, hey! You know, like, right? So we're playing Rice, you know, and it just beat it by a few days, maybe a week. Maybe that was our little perk for being season ticket holders, I guess.
What, if you assume that Texas and Oklahoma will not be back here,
yeah,
right? Because it seems like the momentum has stalled, if you're being nice, died, if you want to be more blunt about it. Regarding Oklahoma and Texas leaving a year early, right? Mm-hmm. And so it stands to reason that you'll have them on the schedule, on the Big 12 schedule, not necessarily Texas, for two more seasons. So given that, probably unlikely that you'll see Oklahoma or Texas in Lubbock this weekend or this season.
This fall, yeah.
Definitely not this weekend.
although they may be over there running track right now.
True.
Yeah.
If you take those off the board, what are the more enticing home games? Because even though K-State might be a Big 12 favorite, right? Yeah. I don't know that that's going to cause season tickets to just fly off the shelf.
Yeah, and I'm gonna assume we'll erase rumors from the picture, and
good album
taken. We're taking Texas and OU off the table, but having some combination of OSU and Baylor and TCU here would probably drive interest. Of the four new schools, and Kansas State would probably not be far behind that group just because of their relevance, of the four new schools. Well, obviously Houston would probably generate more interest, even not because they're going to bring this huge. I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't because
you just played them.
Yeah, we're not that. I mean,
you just played them here, and you played them here in 2018.
Yeah. No, that's right. And that's, and maybe that is, maybe that's a little bit newer news to someone, Brennan's age or whatever. But,
Brennan's 42.
Dude. Yeah, that's true. He looks young. He's done a good job. The, someone my age is going, well, it's a Southwest Conference opponent. I took a few steps above Rice. Not in terms of on field.
Did you hear that, Houston? That's Dr. Michael Gustafson.
Well, and I meant in terms of athletic interest.
Called you
and
Rice.
Yeah, no, I know better than that in basketball for sure. But just in terms of what would get me going, oh, cool. What I would be way more interested in BYU rolling through here. That would be a game that I would circle. Put BYU and Oregon on the schedule, and that would be pretty sexy. I guess is the right word.
TCU on the schedule would be, that would carry some weight, right? After the whole Cactus thing, although I don't know that, if you run a poll on a Saturday in the fall of all the season ticket holders in the stands, if half of them are even kind of aware of the Cactus story, I think that's very message board, sports talk, radio, Twitter. And most folks aren't into that.
Right.
But, yeah, I think TCU would definitely kind of be a tent pole for you. Plus, I mean, they went to the playoff this past year, and they'll probably be ranked at some point to start the season, so we'll see, how that goes. But, and heck, you were in Fort Worth. You were in Manhattan season.
That's exactly what I was about to say. If there's any consideration to just, hey, we want to keep these teams playing each other, so what's the normal flow? But you and I have also acknowledged the fact that it's a new schedule model, so it's not out of the question that you might go to Manhattan again. What I would be surprised by is if Tech went to Manhattan this year and didn't get K-State back the next year. It's sort of, okay, we understand it's a new pairing. We're fine with over the next 2 years, we go there once, they come here once. Potato, potato. But if it was just a one-off situation where we went back to Manhattan and then they weren't on the thing in 24, then that would be kind of a bummer. But there may be some unfairness in the schedule. I guarantee you, Twitter will let us know about 15. And I don't even Hell, you and I'll I will be know. Able to look at the tech schedule and figure that out. But just looking at Twitter 15, 20 minutes later when whoever it is, Texas fans, TCU fans, K-State fans. I imagine our new conference members probably won't have much to say because they're sort of glad to be here.
Love to get your thoughts and comments on the EH Flooring Center chat line at TT973.com. Our friend Steven has said, happy birthday, Gus. Cake emoji.
Yeah.
Blake.
Thank you.
Offers his birthday wishes. Happy birthday, Gus. Somebody else says this. Happy birthday to my favorite sports talk host and baseball guru. So I'm probably talking about you.
You're the host with the most.
I'm no guru.
I'll take the second part of that. That's fine.
Clint goes down as a great collegiate hitter.
Yeah, we had Clint here. Clint, what's his name again? Cliff.
I mean, it's Welcher as far as I'm concerned.
Ooh.
Going back on the cake promise.
I can't say that with too much emphasis because the
18-hour donut
that got destroyed.
Wolf down. You want mine?
Well, I'm not going for two. That would be maybe that's a little much.
One and a half?
Nah, I'm good. You know, he needs to eat that. Brennan needs to get after that.
Well, I don't know. Your metabolism slows down, I hear, when you get past 40. So
it's true,
Brennan probably should be careful around the donuts.
Yeah, you need to you need to get in there and get on that thing. You're a college kid, dude. Get in there and eat that thing. Let's go.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hey, it's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Gus and Brennan. I'm Aaron. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. Would love to hear what you have to say on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark hotline. You can call us, 806-771-0973. TCU officially announced the hire of Kendall Briles as offensive coordinator. I believe it was actually yesterday, officially. And he arrived in Fort Worth on Wednesday. And yet today, for the first time, TCU sent out a welcome tweet with graphic announcing the move. And I'm curious, this is something that is being criticized quite a bit. Not universally. You don't have, like, you know, the governor weighing in or something like that. But from a sports media standpoint, especially around these parts, folks are critiquing some of the choices. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious what your take is, if there's something there, or if this is just kind of maybe reaching. I don't know. You tell me. And so I'll describe the tweet for you. And this came out this morning at 8 o'clock, bright and early. Not super bright and early, but early.
Yeah, I think...
Well, let me describe it first.
Go ahead. Sorry.
It says, "Welcome to Fort Worth, frog emoji."
And this is a tweet.
It's a tweet. Yeah. And then it says, hyphen offensive coordinator, hyphen associate head coach, hyphen quarterback. So listing his coaching responsibilities, hashtag go frogs, hashtag DFW Big 12 team, and then the graphic. And it says, welcome coach Kendall Briles and family. And that's kind of in the background. And in the foreground is, I assume, his wife, his three children, and then kind of actually sitting behind them in the back, off to the side, is Kendall Briles, and this photo was taken in a private jet. Looks to be while it's flying, based on the window. And so people are criticizing this, Gus, for not including Kendall's name in the tweet so it can't get searched. Kind of putting the name behind the kids in a way. Not like super obviously, but still it's behind the kids. And then also kind of using the family as a shield. I'm curious if you think those are valid criticisms.
It's probably fairly astute observation, but I think you get right to the core of it, and it feels like, I mean, what we're dealing with here perhaps is them just avoiding the publicity of trying to keep his past in the past. I mean, he's had fairly, I mean, this isn't Art Briles coming out of retirement or the high school job or whatever. This isn't that level of just because Kendall's been a OC for the last several years, most recently at Arkansas, but so it's not like he's been in hiding. But still, the just when this first was tweeted, I guess, or not really tweeted, but the chatter came up around this and that this was rumored to be the move. You and I probably had a thought that resembles a lot of folks around the country. Like, why would Sonny do this to himself? I mean, are you that? I mean, he obviously, there's a connection to Briles because they were in Lubbock at the same time. Obviously, Sonny and Art were on the staff here together, and so there's probably a connection there. But
I mean, Art spoke at Spike's funeral.
Yeah, and this is that's a good point, great point. So that connection is obvious, and all of the trappings are there. But you can't hardly see this conversation now. TCU isn't doing this, and they're
any sort of press releases or online stuff, but anybody else that's talking about the move has to invoke his history. You know, the quote that he's best known for that's not very flattering, just all that kind of stuff. His association with the Baylor program at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's either on one hand, it's like, hey, that's pretty astute by TCU. But on the other hand, it's like, well, let's get to the core of this. If you're having to do that, is it the best hire?
I kind of feel like I'll admit this, and I have not looked this up. I don't really care to. But maybe this is just how they announced these things. Like, maybe if we kind of go back to when Dykes announced his first staff, they followed a similar template. I don't know that's true. I have no idea. If someone is that interested, they can go find those tweets. But I just want to acknowledge that as a possibility. Not that I'm defending them. I'm not. But I just want to be intellectually honest here. I think another kind of thought along those same lines, too, is for the TCU folks that made such a stink about this, not that they were protesting in the streets or, you know, burning their TCU gear, but there was a bit of a groundswell, right, on Twitter of some TCU folks. I saw a podcast host say that he'd be done with TCU if they hired Kendall Bryle, so I'm curious to kind of see how he wiggles his way out of that one. But do you know who TCU's strength coach is there, Gus?
Mm-mm.
Brennan, do you have any idea who the strength coach is for the TCU Horned Frogs, a team that went undefeated in the regular season and would go on to play for a national championship?
No idea.
It's none other than Kaz Kazadi, who was the strength coach at Baylor under Art Briles.
Hmm. He was also with Sonny at SMU.
He was. Yeah, there's no doubt. But I mean, he was just as involved, if not more so. Now, he doesn't have the damning quote like Kendall Briles does. But I mean, he was with Briles in Waco for the whole time. The whole time he was there. And so if an association with the Art Briles regime at Baylor is off-putting to you in some way, if you're a TCU fan, you should have been feeling that way for the last year or so. Because you know that you used to do this, right? You were in the college athletics strength conditioning pipeline, right? You were a part of that.
As a GA 30 years
machinery.
Ago. Yeah, sure.
In a lot of ways, those coaches, right, those staff members have more access to the players, know what's going on more than the coaches.
The day-to-day stuff,
right? Few people in the programs are more in tune with the players and what all is happening than the strength coaches. And so if Kendall Bryles is guilty of anything, Kaz is too.
And I think Kaz was, I don't want to say implicated, that's not the right word, but was, you know, in a variety of the lawsuits, or maybe one notable lawsuit, whatever. And I have no idea about the result of that lawsuit, but just as the different stories were told in the lawsuit, he was implicated. It probably may have very well been in the same lawsuit as Coach Bryles, Kendall's alleged comment. As far as what you're saying, I remember Joe Jurassic, who was here when I was ending my playing career, and the guy I worked under. So he's probably here 6-7 years, went back to OU, and then I think 16-17 years with the Cowboys. But he used to tell recruits, you know, make sure you're comfortable with the academic people and the strength and conditioning people, because you'll spend, at that point at least, the NCAA had no regulations against the, I shouldn't say no, but the amount, there was far less limitations with you being in the weight room year-round and you being in the study hall tutoring situations year-round. you could be with your coach on the field, you know, 20 hours, or we're in field and meetings, you know, 20 hours a week, or all that, you know, those type things. Even those type rules were in their infancy back then. So much so that at that time when that was put in place, AD, you may find this interesting, but when you would come get your paper, you know, Aaron Dickens, or like, I think we had DB notebooks and O-line notebooks, and where you come in and pull out your Aaron Dickens, and you run it through a timestamp, like if you were clocking in on the job, boom, boom, you know, 1:10 p.m., and then you'd lift and leave, tonk, tonk, 2:10 p.m., and so if the NCAA ever audited it, like, here it is, here's how much time he spent in the weight room.
More Tech Talk next.
It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. It's Tech Talk on Double T97.3 and DoubleT973.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Brennan Riker. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you today until 6 o'clock. Would love to hear your thoughts and your comments on the Yates Flooring Center chat line at DoubleT973.com. All guests appear via the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973. We were talking yesterday, Gus, about the Lady Raiders after their big win over Texas on Wednesday, and we were discussing, okay, well, you're kind of beginning to get in the conversation of postseason, right? And kind of what it would take to get there for the first time in a long time, basically a decade. And lo and behold, the latest bracketology for women's basketball has Tech as the last team out. So you're right on the bubble there, on the wrong side, but granted it's...
Last team in or first team out?
First team out.
Okay. You said last team out. That'd be bad. The last out would be like team 328. Yeah, I got you.
And so, you know, if you can just kind of keep your head above water here, you're going to have a really good chance to make the tournament.
Yep. And I think the that, you know, they've got quality wins ahead of them. I'm saying wins. If they're not wins, they've...
Opportunities.
Yeah, opportunity.
Sure.
There you go. And much as the men do. I mean, I know that's not the same conversation at this point, but if the men go out and win 8 or 9 of their last games, they'll play themselves into conversation probably. But the women are obviously positioned better, and I think we covered this the other day. Net ranking at 66 right now, and so they're, you know, they didn't play. I assume in terms of strength of schedule or whatever, they didn't play a hefty non-conference schedule, and I don't know enough about their intentions that. You know, the Tech men didn't either in hindsight, because, you know, Georgetown fell off and Louisville ended up, you know, we've covered that before, but don't know enough about how the women scheduled it, thinking, hey, here's our RPI hit or our net ranking hit, you know, our juice, and it didn't happen. But you know, sitting at 66 right now, and I would think that number probably need to be, you know, probably up in the 40s, I would think, be in a good, you know, comfortable position there, because unless they, obviously, if they don't win the conference tournament, the Big 12 tournament, then they're vying for an at-large bid. I think that's not any news there.
Yeah, I think if you, I'd love to know what your net ranking would be if you didn't lose that second game to Jackson State, right? And they're not in like the 300s, but they're ranked, I think, 95th in the net. So that's objectively a very bad loss for the Lady Raiders, and I don't know that it's dragging them all the way down to 66 or 65, but you know, that's really what the one blemish on their record so far. But as you said, plenty of opportunities to score more big wins, and that starts on Saturday with the game in Morgantown. We'll have it for you here on we'll have it for you on 107.7 Yes FM. Coverage begins at 11:30. Tip off at noon. Our friend Jerry has this question. Schedule close, AD. Season ticket renewals went out today. You know, you would think that if you were going to sell season tickets, right, season tickets, that you'd be able to tell folks who all will be in that season.
Six or seven games.
But au contraire, mon frere.
Okay.
Yes, you can buy season ticket for Tech football season tickets without knowing the schedule.
Yeah, and that's obviously the deadline's not expiring.
Hurry up and get your,
call them up. They're just, Yeah, they're not twisting their arm there. That'll get cleared up. And
when do those usually go out?
I was gonna guess February, but they may be late January. I don't know. And I think part of it is they set up a payment plan. You know, so if you can pay $100 a month for the next 4 or 5 months or whatever it is, or whatever your high priced guy like you, AD, probably several hundred dollars a month to pay for the sort of 50-yard line luxury that you would prefer. Did you look at me like, are you bleeping me?
No one would prefer.
Is how's that?
Sure.
There you go.
Well, heck, you just want to stay at the Fraser. You kidding?
Yeah. Thank you.
Climate-controlled cold beer.
Yep. God bless.
Chairs.
Yep. Yeah. Sure. No, I got you. But, you know, I guess the earlier they do that, is if the quicker you renew, the more you could spread out those payments if you're, you know, paying some bigger freight there for the folks that need to do that. And that's, you know, it is a convenience to have $70 a month hit off your credit card or something rather than dropping a whole chunk.
Jerry points out typically the season ticket renewals go out in January with a first payment in January. But just, I ask that because you got to think that among the many kind of stakeholders that are frustrated at the glacial pace of this schedule release, the folks that, you know, are in charge of season ticket sales and just tickets in general have to be near the top of the list because you're being asked to kind of sell. Hey, you should buy this box. I won't tell you what's in the box. I think that you'll like it, probably. I don't know for sure. Technically, right now, the box is empty. But here, it'll be $500, please. Right? I mean, like,
sure.
That's tough, man.
Yeah, I mean, and tickets and marketing. And now, I would also say that they're probably not hung up on it's sort of like what you and I have talked about, that by August, you and I will still remember this because of our steel trap brains. and the fact that we get 15 hours a week to hash this out.
Sure.
But most folks aren't going to remember. Most folks aren't going to remember that the schedule didn't come out on the 17th, that it instead came out on the 23rd.
Unless the 2024 schedule also lags behind.
That's true. It'll get rehashed this time next year. Yeah, and I would think that, I mean, the only, you know, who knows, but I would think that as they're modeling the schedules, you know, that it's a 2-year plan. If anything, I mean, you and I've thrown that around as the possible reason for why they're waiting. You know, the idea that, well, we've got plan A here, which involves Texas and OU being in the league for one more year, and then we've got plan B here for Texas and OU being here 2 years, because I can't imagine they would release a schedule this year and not have the alternative with it, because some of those, it's gonna involve the return trip, right? If you want to say, okay, Texas Tech, you're playing OSU and TCU every year. Okay, well, we'll have one in Stillwater and one in Lubbock, and then the next year we'll have one in Lubbock and one in Fort Worth or whatever, and then the rest of it's in play. But I just can't imagine that they'd release 2023 and not have something for 2024 in mind.
You would think so.
Yeah.
I would think so. But, I mean, if that's the case, then wouldn't they just release the schedule for next year?
Yeah.
Alongside the one for 2023?
It'd be cool. That really would be cool. And you know, I'm sure there's some hotel folks, and there's probably a lot of folks that would like that. Now, I would be comfortable with the idea of, excuse me, releasing 2024 and saying, we don't know who you're playing and when, but Texas Tech will have these 5 teams at home and these 4 teams on the road. You know, like you and I talked about basically the last, 7 or 8 years.
More Tech Talk next.
the podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
Hi, how are you? Good afternoon. Happy Friday. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Dr. Mike Gustafson and Brennan Riker. I'm Aaron Dickens. We're joining you until 6. We'll have Friendship Tigers basketball for you beginning at 6 o'clock. Girls up first, then the boys. They're taking on Odessa Permian tonight on the road. The Cooper folks are on the road as well. A girl-boy doubleheader beginning at 6 on 100.7. The score, they are taking on Lubbock Monterey.
This just a quick little item that we'd talked about. We started the show talking about Lady Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're the opportunity that's in front of them, because you had some bracketology stuff that shows them being on the bubble right now. The Colorado women's hoops won their game. I don't know if that was last night or earlier today or something, but they're ranked number 24. And now that's not a net ranking. And
but
then
still.
It'll show up as a, that'll be like, if you were showing the Lady Raiders resume right now, just the screen on ESPN bracketology right now, there's a quality win. Obviously the win over the Longhorns the other day, quality win.
And that's
good stuff.
I mean, we know the men don't have a conference win, but that's also something that the men are lacking, right? We would feel a little bit better about their chances to kind of climb back into the tournament picture if you had a win over a team that was kind of like Colorado for the women,
yeah.
Right? You had a resume win to kind of lean on from the non-conference.
Yeah, and they probably hope that was Georgetown or one of the Maui teams or, you know, maybe LSU, but a lot of those games, a lot of those teams have faded in some sense, and, you know, here we are.
How about this? We have a first in minor league baseball.
Oh, all right.
And I don't know if this is all, you might know this. I don't know if this is all minor league baseball or if this is a first kind of restricted to this level, high A. But there is a new manager in place for the Arizona Diamondbacks, high A affiliate.
Okay.
The Hillsborough Hops, and I don't know where that's located, have hired Ronnie Gajownik as their skipper, and she is the first, woman manager in high A.
Because the...
it's in Oregon. Hillsborough, Oregon.
Yeah, that's good. Boy, this time last year, the conversation was all around the woman for in the Yankees organization. Her name was really cool. Rachel
Mohajer. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Rachel Balkovec. And she was in low A. And so that's the distinction. That's the distinction here, the high A, low A thing. But she, you know, by all accounts, did a good job. Like they went around interviewing her players, and she knows the game and knows human performance. She too had a background in strength and conditioning. But yeah, that's really interesting. And I got no beef with that. I mean, I don't think they're hiring somebody like that straight off the softball field, but these women have, you know, it's like anything else. They've gotten some grassroots opportunities and are working their way up, and I think it's great. It's I don't even think we react anymore when you see the women referees on NFL games.
I mean, or even the women analyst types or
– Sure. Or the
– Like Michigan.
Men's basketball, mm-hmm. Big 12 refs or something, and there, you know, it would be a Tech men's game. I just, you know, hope for their sake. What we want from them is just good performance or whatever, and all they want is to be held to the same standard, right?
I would be okay with bad performance if it meant, like, more calls in favor of
that. Oh, sure, you're right. Really, really bad slanted. Yeah. All right, you're right.
We get this in the Yates Flooring Center chat line from Coach Sanders. I don't think this is Dion, but they say, Brennan Riker, oh, man, great guy.
Wow, look at that. Just, yeah, you coach, need to edit the thing. Say, Brennan, goes down as a great college hitter.
That, that's what he you was. Need to do. He was your little league coach back in the '80s. Is that right, Brennan?
Yes.
Yeah,
oh, boy. Big Spiro Agnew guy. Oh, always no, had the Nixon, you know, Nixon Agnew stickers all over his car.
This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Drove a 72 deuce and a quarter with a Spiro Agnew sticker.
AD, I'll ask you again from a few weeks ago, who do you think ends up with more conference wins, men's basketball or the girls' basketball team? I don't recall what my answer was. Hopefully I said girls' basketball, women's basketball, because I think that's the answer now. But yeah, I think the women's basketball team absolutely finishes with more Big 12 wins than the men. In fact, I don't think that that's even close, frankly.
Just another one of your dollar bets?
No.
Well, there
you go. I think I'm out of dollars.
So and I don't I'm, think there's anybody taking that bet.
No. And, you know, we'll have Tech basketball for you tomorrow. Maybe they can get their first Big 12 win. Unlikely, but possible. They're taking on the Kansas State Wildcats. That game will tip off at 1 o'clock. Our coverage will start for you at noon on both Double T 97.3 and 100.7 The Score. Be a nice little afternoon, if you're really for both fan bases.
Quick.
Because you have this basketball game, and then both fan bases, I would guess, will be invested in the Chiefs game that will get started at...
great point. Yeah, they're the early game. Well, early 3:30 or something like that, 3 o'clock.
See, so
what you got here?
Somebody sent in a text. This is happy birthday, Gus, which is very nice. Thank you. And they included a photo of a an older gentleman. You don't need to look at that in a pink bikini.
Oh, hot.
See, but I'm the one that mostly looks at that. Why would
see? Yeah. Say? Well, I got on here and got the Twin Peaks ad, so I'm just gonna stay with her.
Yeah. Good plan. We don't need to publish that.
Oh, you didn't publish it. I got it. Okay.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. I know that you've seen a lot worse than that in your 42 years, but yeah, let's just not.
I can I look over your shoulder over
if
there?
If you want to.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Oh, wow, you're going in for a closer
goodness
look.
Yeah. Somebody asked about Dub Malaise having a 3-point line. I would say that about Bubba Jennings. Bubba, you know what, Bubba? If you're old enough to remember Dub Malaise, you're probably old enough to remember Bubba. I think I've told Brooks this. I'm like, when, you know, the way Pop Isaac shoots, just kind of shoots it off his chin, kind of right here. You know, it's a lower release on his. And I've watched him shoot, and I go, you know what? I've never said this about anybody else, just in at Tech since 1985 or whatever. But Pop Isaac's. He resembles Bubba Jennings' shooting style. I'm not saying the game is the same, because if my mind's eye is remembering it, I'm remembering fifth year senior Bubba Jennings and not versus freshman Pop. But I'm just talking about because we used to stand around the eighth and ninth grade imitating Bubba Jennings, you know, and now it's you know, and I just watch Pop shoot and I go,
kind of seen that before.
So yeah. I'll have to ask some of my old basketball, like if Todd Duncan or Trent Hilliard, you guys are listening, tell me what you think.
I was about to say, do you know where Bubba Jennings is now?
Yeah, well, he's at that Arlington Baptist College. Yeah.
Head coach for Arlington Baptist.
Yeah, which is like a Christian College Association division.
NCCAA.
There you go. Yeah,
they
there you go.
They came to LCU in November and played.
Yeah, that's right. Like very much of a small college type scenario, but yeah, super. Because he went from high school to that, and yeah, happy for Bubba. Good dude.
More Tech Talk next.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3.
You know, we've been talking about Corpus. And this is what happens when your basketball team is 0-6 in conference play. And Steven pointed out that he had to drive 7.5 hours home after his Southwest flight was canceled. And this was a couple of years ago. This is not a fresh wound that we're kind of, like, you know, digging with our friend Steve. What's the breakdown for you in terms of flying versus driving?
Ooh.
Like if it's a 6-hour drive, versus a, you know, a 2-hour flight, I think I'd just rather drive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, especially, well, especially given the state of cancellations
true.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
But I won't even bake that into the conversation. I would say that, you know, and I think so much of it has to do with just our standard out here being, you're flying to Dallas. You're flying to Dallas to go anywhere. And so for me, it would be anything more than that 300 miles or so, 330 from here to DFW, Love Field, whatever. Yeah, anything much farther than that, my preference would be to fly, but I don't know. Now it may be, I may have a little more tolerance for an extra hour or two on there.
Because if you're driving, you can get around and about a lot easier at your destination if you're driving your own car. You can pack more stuff, right? You can stop whenever you want. You're not going to get poked or prodded by security. You don't gotta. It's cheaper, usually.
Probably depend. I mean, for me, sometimes the math on that would be, am I going down and back in a day or something? You know, if I'm driving down tonight and coming back tomorrow.
I agree with that.
Now, I've gone to the Bobby Bragan Award thing. I'm on that selection committee, and it's a banquet held in downtown Fort Worth, like usually on a Thursday. And I guess I've been down there 3 or 4 times for that. It's a really cool event, but it's where the Bobby Bragan Slugger Award is presented, won by Hunter Hargrove and Josh Young. And, you know, when I've left my house at 3 o'clock, driven to downtown Fort Worth, went upstairs to the banquet, enjoyed the banquet, got seated with at Emily Jones' table, which is cool. And then we got an Amber Alert. And then,
is it bad that I've turned that off?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it is. But then got back in my car and drove back. Like, in other words, like it was down at the Civic Center, but I'm driving to downtown Fort Worth and back. So in one day and one night for a dinner. So, but I only do that for special occasions. Most notably when a Red Raider wins the award. But yeah, I also think that living out here in West Texas conditions you for that. My grandmother's that grew up just north of St. Louis used to talk about a trip to Chicago like, oh, you know, like just, you know, you just
pack a lunch.
Oh yeah, and just, you know, it was just a huge deal, and you know, me and Dad were like, let's just like 270 miles up there, you know, we're doing everything by West Texas miles. Going, hey, that game's at 3 o'clock. We can be back by midnight, you know. Went to a game at Wrigley one time. Hey, and we'll stop by the University of Illinois where Dad did his doctoral work. We can go see where we live and go by the building and see campus and blah, 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 and then go to the Wrigley game. You'll be back tonight at midnight. And, you know, my grandmother was looking at us like, this is in the 90s, you know, and they're looking at us like, you guys are crazy. You know, like, oh, we live in West Texas, man.
This and the H Flooring Center chat line. I've got the kids outside. Let's talk about some more 70s adult movies. You know, there's actually a Wikipedia.
Brennan got awful quiet after category. He Googled that. Did you notice
that? Shame people for, you know, their nipples. Yeah.
I mean, when you sent Brennan to
that's right in his wheelhouse. Look, he's 42 years old.
I know you sent him to the Wikipedia and he got real quiet and then quit listening
some
to
education.
Us.
This in the chat line of When Tech Baseball is in Austin. My wife and I are driving to Baton Rouge to see LSU versus Arkansas. That's from Eric.
All right. Nice.
I like this on the chat line. I don't know that I quite am to this point, but I can respect the adherence to like a hard and fast rule.
Okay.
Somebody says this. Thankfully, my wife has come to see things my way. We're only flying somewhere if salt water separates us from our destination.
There you go. That's a good distinction.
This is in the chat line. It also depends on how many people are going. If you're flying more than one person to Dallas, you may be talking $300 to $400 easy. No matter how bad gas prices get, I don't think most people will be paying that much for a round trip.
Yeah, I've booked some. I mean, it's been a while, but when the same, you know, when the kids are part of the travel excursion, you're going, hey, if we drive to Dallas and then fly to Cincinnati or Boston or wherever the crap it was, you know, you start to do that, like, hey, we're saving like $130 a ticket. That's like $500 to drive to Dallas. And it's usually easy going there Because you're okay, you're excited about the trip. Mm-hmm. But then when it's time to come home, you're like, oh, God, we got to drive home from Dallas when we land, you know.
That's on, because we're going on a cruise in June. I know, whip out the world's smallest violin for this next part.
You and Choice Woodman.
Yeah. We're driving down to Houston.
Well, you got family there.
We do. Yeah. And so we'll probably drive down and spend the night there and then drive down to Galveston for departure. Easy. Like you said, looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Excited. Everybody's amped up. But, man, that drive on the way back.
Tired, maybe on each other's nerves a little bit. Ready to get the routine. Brutal. Ready to get back to the routine. Missing me and Clint.
That the most It'll important probably be thing.
You kids in the back seat, you kid in the back seat, shut your hole. Dad, I got to pee.
Well, hand it.
Back in the old days when the Gatorade bottles were glass with the metal screw-on lid.
Is that what y'all did?
Probably not the most. Oh, it had like a little rubber seal inside the lid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think I've got one that you still kept to it? This day. Well, I threw pennies and nickels and stuff in it. I think it ended up in a box. And then
pennies and nickels.
Whatever, yeah, but change and crap, and so, and now there's like this glass Gatorade bottle. Brooks might have ended up with it. It's the kind of thing my wife probably threw out, but
that's how y'all handled that on road trips.
Well, back I'm in the saying, day? Yeah, that kind of thing.
Got sure. My mom would, and this is
bottle has a great big mouth, so it's a big target to work for.
She would just buy diapers, and we wouldn't wear them.
We just
open it up and, you know, it absorbs.
Wow, yeah. No kidding.
Open up and dump.
Yeah. Essentially. I mean, not God, number not, two. Not, yeah, yeah, not number two.
Two, dang. No kidding.
Yeah.
And you should roll it up and then at the next stop. And so
that's that Aggie education, I guess.
Wow, and you can just go full throttle and, you know, it soaks it immediately?
Sometimes I get in trouble by some of the things that I say on the air and things that
I've... mom's listening?
She's a very faithful podcast listener. Sure. I don't know if I'll get a text about this tomorrow or not. I'll keep everyone posted.
Whenever some Debbie Does Dallas talk flying around this morning, like, you talked about what?
This from C. Kennedy. We drove to Disney World 3 years ago. Just my boy and me. The girls flew.
Oh.
And all of us drove to Disneyland last year. Of course, I drive 400 to 800 miles a day on average for work.
There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyler's here, a.k.a. Alex Morgan.
We only have 20 minutes left.
Man, nice job. Hey, the show started at 3, Kyler.
You'd be a little late.
Maybe next time. Show up. Brennan's been ready to go for a while. He checked out that dirty movie we were talking about yesterday. He just looked it up and just went blank on us, like missed the commercial and the whole deal.
His eyes glazed over.
Yeah. He's 42 years old, but he looks 20.
This... on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. By the way, I really loved Galveston from Steven. So anti-Corpus, but pro Galveston. Cruising on Allure in August, spending 3 extra days at a nice Galveston hotel. Somebody else says, this 80 dropped the child abuse stories. Here's a diaper, open up and dump. I view that as more.
How old are you when this happened? Like 8 or?
Oh, I was probably 16, 17. I'm kidding. No, like 8. Yeah, 8, okay. 9, 10.
I just wonder, like, how much would a diaper just hold a 14-year-old's flow?
I mean, I was, you know, I was a kid. Yeah,
I got you. Yeah, interesting. I had no idea. I need to try that next time.
I don't think that's any next different than peeing a bottle. You know?
How about that? Next time you're tailgating out in the West Lot.
Hey, pass me the Pampers.
Oh, what? It's overflowing this time. Hey, sorry, that diaper is built for an infant, not your 4-gallon Budweiser.
Yeah, right. Sorry, I broke the seal.
Kyler just said she walked in at the wrong time.
Or the right time.
If you'd have been here at 3, it was the wrong time, Kyler. Hang in there.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.